To the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth and your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him.
I assume the kids are now making their way out. Is that? It's great. See my. It's not just my little ones running away. That's totally okay. That's fine. Just wanted to clarify that. All right. What a joy it is to be here with you this morning as we open God's Word. If you have Psalm 67 open, keep it with you. It'll be really helpful. But I thought what we might start with is helping us think through this idea about being blessed. That we read, heard in the Psalm. There's all throughout the Psalms talks about being blessed. And it's worth thinking then, what do we mean by being blessed? What does it mean for someone to be blessed? If I were to walk down to the IGA or to the local library, had a chat to one of the people there, what would they say being blessed is? I think we can kind of fairly quickly have an idea of what many might say. Maybe you've already seen this too on social media or people in commenting about how they've been blessed because they went to Japan or came back from Japan. Or they've been able to have this family trip together. They've had this amazing landfall kind of investment win or something. Or they've just got this really, really good selfie. And they're like, actually I'm really blessed. Well, it is a quite different thing to be blessed. We need to be clear about what we mean about being blessed. Because today, being blessed is almost synonymous with comfort, with success, with prosperity, with good fortune, with good looks. In many ways, it's a spiritually sounding way of saying, life is going well for me. It's something that if you ask someone at the IJN library, they would love to be blessed, wouldn't they? And perhaps as you're thinking about whether you've been blessed too in your life, that might be a thing that you might be challenged with as well. Because maybe for you, you might not think that I don't have that blessing. Well, this is what this psalm helps us think through. Because even the psalmist seeks this blessing. Have a read with me. Verse 1. Psalm 67, verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us. Yeah, we all want that, don't we? But I don't have that. I don't have what the world might think is blessedness. I wish I had that. If only I had the blessing that they had, my life would be just right. But what people call about being blessed today, that's not what the psalmist calls for, does he? Because there's one line underneath verse 1, under his request to be blessed. Read the whole of verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. The psalmist's call for blessing is surrounded by God's grace, his undeserved favor and merit, that God would shine his face upon him. What does he mean by making God's face shine upon him? Because is it just that he wants God to kind of help him see in darkness, like a light bulb, so that he can see? Because that doesn't seem to be so much a blessing. But actually, what this is calling back to is the priestly blessing from Numbers 6, where Aaron would say to the people of Israel, he said this in Numbers 6, verse 24, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." You see, what Aaron's blessing is, what the psalmist's blessing is, what they're asking for is God's presence to be with them. As you read through the Old Testament, you see time and time again how God does materially bless Israel. We see that. They get an abundance in crop. They do well in all their endeavors. And they do become materially rich. And that's what we see in the Psalm 2 in verse 6. The earth has yielded its increase. They're doing well. They're flourishing. And yet, that's not what he's seeking. He doesn't say anything about asking for more of that material possession, even though there is an immense harvest. He doesn't ask for an even greater harvest or a better way to kind of store the harvest in his shed so that he get dividends or better returns on it. He doesn't ask for time off so that he can go and enjoy his fruits of his labor. No, what he sees, what he seeks for, isn't the material gain that we might see today of the cars, the holidays, the houses, the glam, the glory, the blessings of today. That's not what he seeks. But rather he longs for the presence of the Blessed One. Because he knows that to be truly blessed is to have the favor of the Blessed One. That's what the psalmist is praying and longing to see. Because the psalmist knows, if you look back in the Old Testament, yes, they've done well. They have succeeded with God's help. But no matter how well Israel seemed to do, the minute they turned their eyes away from the Blessed One, it crumbled. It completely fell apart. Time and time again, God would pour lavish blessings on Israel, only for his people to walk away from him. And once they walk away from the source of their blessedness, once they walked away from God, it was inevitable that it would all turn to ruin. And for many in the Old Testament, that blessing was few and far between, because you had to be in Israel to experience God's blessing. But one of the joys of the New Testament is with the coming of the Lord Jesus, is the clarity in which we see God's favor. Because being blessed then isn't something that we wished we could be part of this nation of Israel. It's not something that we need to wait for or long to see in the future. Actually, we have it in Christ Jesus. Let me read to you a few verses in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." So wherever we are at in life, whatever we are going through, whatever turbulent thing that life throws into our life, no matter what we feel or experience, we can know that God's favor is on us because he sent his son, God sent his son into the world for us. We don't need to think about what the world is crying about. Look at my houses, look at my holidays. Friends, whether we recognize it or not, we are blessed. But it is only in knowing Christ Jesus that every spiritual blessing lays. Because it's not about the things that we have. It's about being known and loved by God himself. It's about being in the very presence of God, and we have that in the Lord Jesus. That's what it means to be blessed. To be known and in the presence of God himself, the source of all blessings. That's our first point, as we think about what is being blessed. Because knowing that we have been blessed is crucial for the way we live out our life. Because there is a purpose to which we've been blessed. That's our second point. Why have we been blessed? Why did God bless us? Because sure, we know that Jesus came into the world. He's done this thing to bless us. But as you might read in the papers, or as the world might say, God's blessed us so we can live however we want. God's left us to live in luxury and ease and comfort. God blessed us so that I can just enjoy the fruits of my labor. That's not what we see in the psalm. Neither does the rest of Scripture call us to do that. No, we've been blessed so that by being blessed by God, God's power is known, and so God is praised. And God's justice is rejoiced, and so he is revered. That's what we're going to think about now as we think about the two ways in which these blessings spill into the world. So, verse 2. Firstly, we've seen that God bless us. The first reason we see why God has blessed us is that the world might see God's way, his saving power. Verse 2. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. So what is his way? What is his saving power? Well, just as God faithfully continued to serve and save his people in the Old Testament from slavery, from disasters, from all of their enemies, really. But as in Christ Jesus, we see most clearly how God had planned to save everyone from all time, from the corruption of the world through sin. That's what the Lord Jesus has come to save us from. And we see this most gloriously and most clearly on the cross. Because there on the cross where Jesus died, there we see God's grace to a world who rejected and despised him. Because Jesus didn't come into the world to go around blessing in a material sense, healing and casting out demons. He did do that. He showed his authority over healing, to heal and to cast out demons. But as you read through the Gospels, what he came to do was to preach, repent and believe in him, because he knows the true problem of the world isn't that we don't have enough stuff, but because of sin. That is the problem of the world. And it's worth stopping and thinking about when we think about the brokenness of this world. This gives us a really robust answer to how God has answered in time and space. Because though humanity ruined the world, caused sin to corrupt and decay everything that we see, and we see much of that injustice today, don't we? But what we know is that on the cross, God has given an answer. Because though he broke his beautiful creation, well, I want you to know about the God who came to fix it. This is God's way. This is his saving power. And why has he shown that to us? Well, verse 2. That we praise God's name because of it. And this is the song of this psalm, this song that we see. In verse 3 and verse 5, they're exactly the same. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. And indeed we should. We should praise him, because once we realize the wonderful grace, the glorious gift that the Lord Jesus has given to us, what else can we do but praise him? Just like when people praise people who help someone out of their sheer goodness. You know, like, it's very easy to tell stories of, you know, this one time I couldn't pay for a food, someone paid it for me. We're very quick to share stories like that. But how much more ought we be praising the one who created us, the one who has given all that we have to enjoy in the world, in his wonders of creation, and in the cross? And it's worth wondering. It's worth stopping to consider then, in our own daily lives, in our conversations, in our family time, how much of our life is given to praising him? When was the last time we actually stopped and said, God, you are amazingly kind to us? Because I know that I might be more used to praising God in maybe my silent time, where in my prayer I have a thing that says, praise God. Oh, yes, I should praise God. We do that in our private time. But to praise him in our normal conversations, to praise God for what he's been doing in my life on a day-to-day basis, that I don't think we do enough of. Just as we're so eager to share a story of how a friend went an extra mile to help us, But on the same token, when we see how God saved us and shown mercy to us, well, that's a different story. But just like our psalmist, what he's calling for, what he's longing to see is the people of Israel, us, believers of the Lord Jesus, really celebrating and rejoicing in the saving power of our God. Because he did save us from sin and from death and from hell. And he has brought us into an eternal fellowship with the God for, with our God forever and ever. And that is good news, friends. The gospel is tremendously good news. So why don't we continue to praise him in our conversations? What is the second reason for why we've been blessed? And that's so that the world might see God's just judgment and therefore rejoice. Verse 4, if you have Psalm 67, it's verse 4 says, "Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth." And this is the very center of the song, the very reason for his joy and his gladness. Look at what causes him to rejoice. Be glad because there are no more wars. Be glad because you have all the money you need. Be glad because, no, it's not, none of that. This psalm tells the nations to be glad and sing for joy. Why? Because you judge the people with equity. Because God judges the world. I wonder if you've stopped to think about that, that God is actually judging the world. Is that a good thing? Well, the psalmist says, absolutely. And if we stop to think about it, yeah, absolutely it is good. Because how often do we see injustice taking place in the world today and yet go unpunished? How often do you see evil prevail and there is no semblance of justice ever being dealt? I'll share with you a story of Sophie Scroll and the White Rose Movement. I wonder if anyone has heard of that. Sophie Scroll and the White Rose Movement. They are a nonviolent, student-led resistance group in Nazi Germany. It was founded in 1942 by Hans Scroll. Hans Scroll, Sophie Scroll, and a bunch of university friends. And what they did, they distributed these anti-Nazi leaflets urging Germans to resist Hitler's regime and to stand up against the many atrocities that was being committed during the war. Their message condemned their violence, their racism, the murder of the Jews, and advocated for moral courage and Christian values. And so what they did was they distributed these leaflets at night, and they risked their lives to kind of help get the word spread about the horrors of what the regime is actually doing. Now, one fateful night, they were caught distributing these leaflets. They were interrogated and charged with high treason, and a trial was actually taken. But it wasn't a proper one. It was a sham court, of course. The court was a Nazi tribunal with a predetermined outcome, and yet, despite their courage of not doing anything wrong, the three members of the White Rose were found guilty of treason and sentenced to death. Their verdict was quickly handed down by one of the judges who was infamous for kind of shutting down anyone against the Nazi regime, which makes sense. And there was no mercy. There was no justice that was done for the White Rose movement. Sophie Scholl, Hans, and the brothers were all executed by guillotine on the same day, just hours after the trial. And she was 21 years old. What's interesting is the perpetrators of this evil, the SS, the Gestapo, there was a whole number involved. They were responsible for a number of atrocities that happened, including mass executions, false trials, forced labor, genocide. But notably, the individuals who carried out all the orders, well, they weren't held accountable. In fact, after the war, many Nazis managed to evade justice or received very lenient sentences. Some of the Nazi officers responsible for atrocities went into hiding, fled into other countries, and were never found. Even within those in the German judicial system who sentenced the White Rose members, they were never fully punished for their injustice. In fact, many were reinstated to higher positions. And that's just one of the many countless stories of injustice that takes place around the world, where we will never see justice being dealt. And I wonder how we feel about that, knowing that there is so much evil that simply gets away with it. I know for myself, it's a gut-wrenching feeling, knowing that it does happen. And yet this is exactly why the psalmist is saying that it is good that God is a just judge. It is good. That's why it's joyful news, because justice will be enacted. It is joyful because those who think they've escaped any form of crime that they've committed, that they might think they've just gotten away with it and no one knows any better, but God does. They won't get away with the evil they've done because there is a just judge who will judge the world. He will judge everyone. But notice this. He's going to judge equally. He's going to judge fairly. And that begs the question then, because yes, it's good and right that God kind of gets those guys, those really evil criminals who've done really, really bad crimes of corruption, murder, whatever it is. That's good. But if we were to really consider that God is a just God who has to judge every evil because he is a perfectly just God, part of me wonders, well, actually, that's a little worrying. Because I know if I'm considering my own life, I am not fully just. I haven't lived a perfect life. I haven't submitted to his rule and reign. I have rejected him. I haven't honored him as I ought to. And this is true for all of humanity. The worrying thing is, because we do want justice, but we know that we ourselves aren't perfectly just, well, we know that we would be guilty too. That's just. And this is part of the glorious gospel news. Because there is someone who takes the penalty that we deserve and gives us a new and perfect standing before God. And that's what we see in the gospel. That's what we see on the cross. That the Lord Jesus stands in our place. He takes the punishment that we deserve. And so God can be just in delivering out judgment. And yet, he also gives us grace. That's why we sing for joy each week. That's why we celebrate what Jesus has done on the cross, because he died to save you and me from our sins. This is the wonderful news of the gospel, that by faith, we can be made into right fellowship with our God once more. That should lead us to fear him, to revere him, because it is right to fear the one who's able to judge all evil. It is right to fear the one who knows our every thoughts, our every motive. But we shouldn't fear him in that he's going to judge us. We know that judgment is done on the cross. We should revere him and honor him in all that we do. Final point then to close. Who is actually, in this psalm, who's actually the recipient of all of these blessings? Let me read you a few verses from this psalm again. Verse 2, it says that your way may be known on earth, that your saving power among all nations. Verse 3, let all the peoples praise you. Verse 4, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Verse 7, let all the ends of the earth fear him. Who receives all of these overflowing blessings? To nations, the world. What the psalm here is envisaging is that a blessing that goes to all the nations. As we hear that line, what should spring to our mind is the Abrahamic promise that God would bless Abraham and his family and all the nations from him. And what wonderful news it is when you get to Matthew 28 in the Gospels. You get to see what part of a role do we play in this. He makes it really clear, doesn't he? Matthew 28, he says this. This is what Jesus says to the disciples. He came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And this is why it's such a great joy to see so many getting involved in serving the Lord across Australia, here at church, because this is the great commission that we're all taking part in. This is how we are bringing this blessing that we've received out into the world. Because this isn't a command for the spiritually elite, as if something like that existed. It's to all who has seen and have heard and have felt and have experienced the blessings of being known and loved by God. To them, go and bless the world. Make disciples. This is crucial for all followers of the Lord Jesus. To them, stop and consider, how are we sharing this blessing to the world? Because the blessing isn't ours for us to hoard, to shove away, to put in a bottle and to keep it until I need it. No, that's not what it was ever for. We have been blessed to be a blessing to the nations. And how do we do that? By telling the world of God's saving power and his just judgment. So I want to ask you then, have you considered how your life then is a blessing to others in the world? We need to consider how we are to continue to serve our Lord and to bless those around us. But I think there are particular ways in which we can do that. Whether it might be our friends, our families, or neighbors, or people that we know in High Wycombe, how are we loving and serving them that they might know the blessings of knowing our God? How might our lives intersect with others so that we can love and care for them such they might see that? I don't know what that might look like for you. Maybe it's getting more involved in things here at church. Maybe it's coming to playgroup and using that as an opportunity for them to come along. Maybe it's simply talking to people about the joys of knowing God. Whatever it is, we are all part of this global mission to make disciples of the Lord Jesus. So what have we seen? Well, firstly, we've looked at what it means to be blessed, why we've been blessed, and who we are to bless. Because at the center of this psalm is to see the praise of our God across the world. That ought to be our heartbeat as a family of believers in the Lord Jesus, who longs to be blessed by being known by the Lord Jesus and making him known to the world. Please join me as we pray. Father, we praise you that you are a good and glorious God, that you have shown your great, mighty power in saving rebellious sinners like us. What a joy it is to know your presence, to have it shown to us so clearly on the cross. And so, Lord, we can do nothing but praise you for your grace, your mercy, and yes, even your justice. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us, that you would, by your Spirit, be shaping our hearts to live a life like Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Lord, help us to live that out. Help us to be a blessing to the world, one that would continue to point to the glories that you deserve. Help us to rejoice, to sing praise to you in all that we do, in our conversations, in our friendships, not just in our church activities, that our lives would be marked by a joy of being known by you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.